In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We use the word love for just about anything. We love our spouse. We love our children. We love pizza. We love sports. We love swimming. We love clothes. We love ideas. And the list goes on and on and on. We want love. We want a real love. And so we bounce around from person to person, object to object, idea to idea, hoping to find something that is real, something that is love. Perhaps we have so saturated our culture with this word love that we really have no idea what love really is, and much less of an idea of where to find it. We love the iPhone 6 until the 6S comes out. We love our job until it's been a few years and now we just feel like we're stuck in a rut. We love sports until our team loses. We love clothes until they're out of date. We love food until we eat too much. We love anything and everything until it no longer satisfies our need. Then we toss it aside like everything else and hope to replace it with something that can give us a real and lasting love. It didn't fill our hearts. It didn't hold up under the weight of hardship, and it couldn't get us through those difficult times. At best, it provided a distraction. And yet, when we turn back to our life, those difficulties and hardships are still there. We want love, not an abstract concept, but a real, lasting, physical, true love. Each of us is born with a God-sized hole in our hearts. We love many things, but like sticking a square peg into a round hole, none of these things can completely satisfy us. It's probably the reason why we use the word love for almost everything. We're trying to find something to hold on to. It's also why we bounce around from thought to thought and person to person. We're constantly searching for this love. And yet it's kind of crazy, because with technology shrinking our world, we really have never felt more alone. We have work friends and social friends, and usually we live next to neither. We have isolated ourselves from the world, or at least from personal contact. We drive home in our little cubicles, air-controlled, to enter our garage and then live in our air-controlled house with the doors and windows shut. Very few sit on the porch and talk to those who are passing by, and those who are passing by only have 15, 20 minutes for a walk, so they have no time either. Very few will talk across the backyard fence. Usually those fences are 6 feet tall. We long for this personal contact and love. And yet, even within our own family unit, we sit at our screens and do whatever else we find somewhat enjoyable, more or less just distracting. At work, we usually stare at a screen, and we come home and we do the same, whether it's a TV or a phone. We're bad at communicating, and yet very good at texting. Conversation has been turned into an abstract. It's easier to write something and then click send rather than to look someone in the face and to say it. We even do this with our spouse, so there really is no need to sit down at the end of the day and talk through the problems of that day. And yet that ever-changing screen leaves us with nothing tangible, real, or concrete. We've lost the facial expressions. We've lost the eye contact, the body language. We yearn for such things. And so we've decided to add emojis and smiley faces to our texts. And so we are left with nothing, empty and longing for something that can't quite satisfy us completely. The closest possible thing to fitting that God-sized hole in our heart is our spouse. And yet men have their idea of what a woman should be, and women have their idea of what a man should be, and neither can possibly fulfill the other's expectations. Both are empty, longing, looking for love, usually feelings of love, feelings of happiness rather than a steadfast, enduring love? One is easy to find, the other is much harder to cultivate. It's why those passionate, head-over-heel newlyweds need to grow to love one another. Love is deepened and grows in the crucible of hardship and suffering together. And it's why so many are quick to divorce once they have claimed they have fallen out of love. The feelings, the passion, the spark is gone. And they see only a longing, empty person who can't satisfy their needs. And even if we stay married, how hard it is to have deep, meaningful conversations day after day. It is quite draining. We want to show love, but we're not always quite sure where to start. We're not good at expressing our feelings in a constructive way to another human being. It's much easier for us to shut down, easier to walk away and deal with it tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. A bottle makes us feel better. Food makes us feel better. Work makes us feel productive, so we turn our attention to those things and yet are still left empty and longing inside. We listen to men and women, others venting their frustrations. We want to help them. We see the emptiness, the loneliness in their hearts, and yet we can't come up with anything more than, well, it'll be okay, knowing full well it won't be okay. We want to love them, but we also get confused as to what love is and to where it is found. We're swamped with those quick-witted phrases popping up on our phones rather than deep, meaningful, and oftentimes hurting conversations face-to-face. And all of this ends in frustration. And at the end of the day, we still feel lonely, still feel empty, and are still burdened with our own inadequacies. If we emphasize everything, then nothing becomes emphasized. So also, if we say we love everything, then we really love nothing. It's a grasping at straws. And so our Heavenly Master looks down at us, and he loves us. His love is not primarily a feeling, but it is an action, as he prepares a feast of his love for you. You didn't ask him for it, but he saw your empty heart and knew full well that only God can fill that hole in your heart. No spouse can fill it, as wonderful as they may be, but only his eternal Son, whom he then sends into this world. It's a real and physical, concrete banquet, not an abstract thought. He gives you the best of the best, not leftovers, not whatever he finds in the fridge. He doesn't take the easy way and simply pick up a pizza or roasted chicken. That won't do for you. But he puts his eternal Son in the womb of the Virgin. This is the feast prepared for the blind, the crippled, the poor, and the lame, those who are on the road and those who are in the country. Meticulously prepared and cared for 33 years, there is no feast like this. Perfect, pure, completely and fully satisfying. And then he slaughtered him on the altar of the cross and wrapped his body in blessed bread and poured that salvation in consecrated wine and now bids you to come. Everything is now ready. He sets it before you yet again today. It is not found in a quick-changing screen or an abstract concept, but it is found in what is tangible and concrete and physical. He loves you not only with words and tongue, but in actions and in truth. You can see God's love. You can taste God's love. You can touch that love for you. It's not a quick-witted text, but it is genuine and lasting. He knows you long for love. And so here he gives you the meal of his love. He knows that you feel empty, so here he fills you with himself. He knows how broken you are. Here he heals your body and mends your heart. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me, you who are longing for love, and I will fill you with my love. I know how broken you are. I know how empty you feel. I will bind up your broken heart and satisfy your longing with my body and my blood. I will hold you as you cry. I will hug you when you are afraid. I will not simply say it'll be okay, but I will show you why it will all be for your good. It's because of my cross. Because of my cross now given to you in a holy meal. His love for you compels him to come to you in this meal. It won't change with cultural fads. It won't be diminished or relegated to a smiley face or a text. It doesn't need improving or a 2.0 version. It is perfect as it is. It is not abstract, but it is real and concrete. And since it is from his heart, it is genuine and lasting. It is not easy or short or quick, but it is eternal. It is real and authentic and quite emotional as we broken, helpless sinners are united to the eternal God forever. We all want to know what love is. And here God shows you. It has been right in front of you the whole time. Here he bids you to come and take, to take and eat, take and drink. So why would you ever turn down this gracious invitation and instead work in a field or stare at a dumb animal or even be with your spouse? Bring your spouse with. They too have a God-sized hole in their heart, and he longs to fill it with this holy supper. But we often get caught up in looking for other things, in looking for love in family or work or our toys or something else. And those things can never completely satisfy us, perhaps for a time. But then as soon as those things pass away, we are once again left empty and lonely. Only God will do. And he has been right in front of you the whole time. In a physical and real and tangible way, he fills you up. Now understand, you may not feel that love as you walk away. We may walk away still feeling just as lonely and empty as when we came in. But we do not place our trust in our feelings, for God is greater than our hearts. We trust our God. And just as he had to teach us what to believe, so also we must learn what to feel. Our emotions also are corrupted by sin. They are not a perfect guide. And so he tells us just what to feel here. That he has satisfied all of our longings. He has filled that hole with himself. And he has healed our broken bones, mended our hearts, and taken care of our emotions. And so now we know what love is, and now we know where to find love. So now we can live in love with one another. We may still not know what to say to that person, but perhaps we will finally see in them someone just as broken and longing and hurting as we are, whether they recognize it or not. And then perhaps we can yet again direct them to this Holy Supper, to where their God comes to fill him, to fill them with his love. It is lasting. It is eternal. And so he bids us to come yet again, for yet again everything is prepared. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.